And in the words of Ed Sullivan, for those of you that are old enough to remember Ed Sullivan, I think today we're going to have a really good show. Okay, a few weeks ago we had a fascinating show featuring Robert Nickel and Lee Patrick Hanks, and that was concerning crop circles. At the time, we let you know that Lee Patrick Hanks was going to come back here and do a workshop. He's here today. The workshop is this Saturday. So we have guests in the studio, Lee Patrick Hanks and Margaret Mary. Lee, why don't you explain briefly your background for the workshop you're going to be giving us? And it will help if I turn your microphone on. Okay.
There we go.
There we are.
It's great to be back here, Chamba. I really am excited to come back to Nevada City, so thank you for bringing us on the show. This is going to be fun.
Good.
Actually, we're going to do two workshops. We are going to do one on May the 9th, which is this Saturday, and then the following Saturday we're going to do another workshop because there's two different groups of people we're trying to accommodate with the interest that took place after the crop circle video. For those of you who might have heard us speak in the last show with my partner Robert Nickel that... We're doing the Crop Circle video documentary, but actually we're doing a series of 10 videos, documentaries that are going to be focused on the extraterrestrial disclosure project, working with exopolitics groups out of Washington, D.C., and Steve Bassett, as well as a lot of different pundits from around the world and real pioneering people that feel like this is probably the most important and greatest moment in our civilization for bringing forth the idea that we're not alone.
Okay. Your background that allows you to present this workshop is prior experiences and contacts with ETs. Would you briefly tell us about that?
Sure. 1981-82, I had the extraordinary experience of being visited and taken up on an actual non-terrestrial ship or an extraterrestrial ship. And they call it the abduction phenomenon now, which has been established by Dr. John Mack back in the early 90s. And that was my beginning of the next chapter in my life, which is...
Excuse me. When you say this was established by Dr. John Mack, what you mean to say is that he's taken it from the realm of weirdness to proof.
Well, yes. For many years, I couldn't say a word to anybody about this, especially back in the 80s when no one was really talking about this much. Mm-hmm. And in the early 1990s, Dr. John Mack from Harvard University in the psychiatric department... started getting more clients and people, and he said, I need to find out what this is really about, because he found out that this is happening to a lot of people. So he got Harvard to go along with it, and he got Lawrence Rockefeller actually to fund a specific project to interview people that had or thought they had abduction experiences. I was one of those that met John through a host of very mystical experiences on how I got to meet John, and he invited me up to Harvard and interviewed me and validated my experience as being something of true phenomena, that really it was an actual physical abduction experience. And that began my journey for the next 25 years to find out who they were, what they were here, why they were doing this, and why I was having to participate in this.
Okay. I understand that over the years the abduction phenomena has changed from being one that was frightening and rather negative, so that one might posit that somebody being abducted today would have a differing kind of experience and that it might be positive in nature. Would you like to speak to that?
There seems to be more people that are reporting abduction experiences, which I would like to maybe take it along more along the lines of people experiencing higher realms etherically. In other words, going in their dream state or in their meditation states and going up on ships, which there are many different classifications and non-terrestrial beings that are involved with us here at the planet right now.
Didn't you say previously that the Pentagon is admitting that there are 84 different extraterrestrial races
Actually,
that are in contact?
Actually, there's 57 that they have chronicled and that have been discussed and are... actually in some of the intelligence agencies in this country as well as other countries around the world.
Okay. Now, the differing nature of these abduction experiences, is that because the ETs doing the abducting are different?
Oh, absolutely. Every different race has a different agenda, and this is something that took me years and years and years to find out and research and understand, because I had such a startling and traumatic experience in my days, and many of the people that I work with now personally around the country and world had the traumatic experiences of not knowing who they were and why they were doing this. There was a certain race, we call them the Greys or the Zetas, that were involved with this phenomenon, my research and certainly collaborated with many other people in the field now, they were basically hybriding humans and non-humans and trying to continue their race, which is now pretty much a dying part of this planet and the agenda that's really been holding us hostage here for a very long time.
They were hybridizing humans and their race.
Yes.
And is this, you're saying this is still going on?
Pretty much, for the most part, it stopped. That particular, you know, we can get into some very outward things here, very out things, but there was a very huge galactic confrontation that took place in 1998 that I talk about in a workshop in detail and discuss, that really gave humanity a chance to shift from being a very closed and pretty much sequestered reality here to now getting support and help from other extraterrestrial races that came in to clear it out, clear them out for the most part. There's still some of that going on within our internal government systems and controlling areas, but the great news is as we come towards 2012 and beyond, that we are getting ready to harbor in and acknowledge and accept that we are a part of a galactic heritage that is multidimensional, and there are many races involved with and concerned about our well-being as we make this transition into 2012 and beyond and really pretty much free us up.
Okay. The year 2012 has been bandied about for quite a few years now. Our listeners are quite familiar with that. As I understand it, your perspective on the changes that are going to take place in 2012 are not cataclysmic, but they're evolutionary. Would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, I think we've had a lot of tremendously intelligent and gifted people that have been discussing 2012, especially over the last 5 years, since it's become a topic for many of the New Age and metaphysicians that have been investigating and a part of this transition and helping humanity. But I do sense that we're going to go through a great shift. It's certainly that's been registered. It's been talked about by all the ancient systems and even some of most of the indigenous tribes of this world today, as well as the Egyptians, the Mayans, even back to the Atlanteans, that we're going to go through a great solar and galactic shift, which is going to change everything on this planet energetically, magnetically, physically. And in a way, yes, there will be some attrition, and we're seeing it right now. We're watching systems breaking down that are no longer going to be able to hold the higher frequencies that are now coming into the planet and the energies. And so as we adjust ourselves, this is part of the process, and this is what I talk about in the workshop and do some of the interactions and techniques that people can get ready for. As we open up and free ourselves, then we will be able to move through these transitions without the resistance, which is still taking place with most people that aren't aware and aren't knowing what's happening. And that's something that we want to help to educate and bring to the forefront with everybody.
So from that perspective, one could say that the economic crises that we're going through, that the whole world is going through at this particular time, one could look upon that from a higher perspective and say that that's preparation for the changes that are taking place. And that if people are in some degree of fear, apprehension, that that's a necessary step for waking them up to things are really changing and you have to change along with it.
It is a it's a big part of what I've addressed in many of my workshops and speaking around in the country, and that is that we are breaking out of an old matrix. We're breaking out of an old paradigm. So certainly people that are still stuck in this and have certain perceptions about money, the power of money, the manipulation of money, the hoarding of money, for instance, which we're watching and seeing in this country right now with the systems and the people that have been behind it, they're scrambling. And they're scrambling desperately to try to hold on to something, a structure that was basically created from manipulation, greed, hoarding. And the transition of people that are going through very challenging times right now is that, okay, what are we going to do differently, and what are my real priorities now? Where am I going to spend my time and my money? And most of all, finding out my purpose and my passion. And I know Margaret has lots of stuff to say about
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to bring her in at this point because you're co-leading this workshop with Margaret Mary. So, Margaret, what do you have to say on that?
Thank you very much, Chama. I would like to put, again, reinforce Lee's positive attitude about 2012 as it seems to me, and the feminine, the veils basically are thinning. We're actually experiencing more light, which is breaking up, if you will, the more dense third-dimensional reality. If you look at the money system right now, and if you look at all the people around you in your life who are doing positive things, if I may, for Gaia, for the Mother Earth, that seems to be working for people. We seem to be moving forward with more light as we release our emotional pain body. The systems that don't seem to be working are the ones that are killing the Earth, right? And that are asking for us to essentially be slaves, to do menial, demeaning types of jobs just to survive. And all of that, the good news is that we are seeing that all of that is breaking away and falling apart so that we can live a more joyous experience.
Yeah, I think that's a very important perspective, because for those of us that are still caught up in paying any attention at all to mainstream media, the old religion is dying. The old religion in America is greed. The old religion is money, the acquisition of money, the acquisition of power. And boy, those guys are getting a beating.
Right.
They're having a hell of a battle, and they're being very public about it, and they're trying to get us all involved in their fear. And if we step back and say, well, as we said in the 60s, things have to get worse before they're going to get better.
Right, and we're waking up and we're saying no more.
Right. Right. And thus, a great number of my listeners are engaged in the process of disengaging from that whole mechanism and let it crash.
Excellent.
Breaking Through the Matrix, one of my great time all favorite movies, and watching how we have to unplug. And that's really, again, that's part of the workshop, is how do we unplug? So you do need information. You do need to understand some of the basic principles of how we got plugged, so that we can work our way out of it. And some people are doing it intuitively. Some people are doing it strictly through their heart. And I have found that we need to do both with the people I've traveled to and walked around and seen in this country, in the world, is that you can emotionally move through it, which is incredible. And that's very challenging. That's the hardest part. But if you can kind of connect both the head and the heart together, and this is, again, something that we want to create with the work that we're doing, it's really a part of the process to know and then to be able to act.
Okay. So let's focus a little bit on this workshop that's coming up this Saturday. And you're going to repeat that workshop on the following Saturday. So it's not that you have to go to both. If you can't attend this Saturday, you have an opportunity to attend next Saturday. What is it that you're going to offer at this workshop that's going to help me or other listeners to prepare for the changes taking place now and through 2012?
Okay. I would like to make sure the listeners hear that part of this workshop is really about the tools for ascension. As we become more aware, we become more empowered. When we are living in fear, we shut down and we're not paying attention. We're not listening to our guidance. So one of the highlights of this particular workshop, which is 10 to 4, Lee, is that
10
correct?
To 4.
10 to 4 on Saturday, are tools to help manifest from the heart. And, of course, Lee's male intellectual part as well, the illuminating the pineal gland and balancing out the two systems, tools on healing the emotional pain body so that we can become lighter, and a couple of meditations of spinning the light bodies and clearing our field so that we can hear the guidance and be more connected.
Okay. Mention was made of activating and accelerating the immortality codes. Would you explain that, please?
Sure. That is what's happening to us, even if we're not aware of it right now. We're getting bombarded by solar flares and magnetic energies and all kinds of things that are happening astrophysically that are literally affecting all of us. And one of the ways exampling of that is you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden you don't feel like you're even here on the planet. You can't feel your body. Feels tingly. You get dizzy, nausea. You want to sleep. There's all kinds of symptoms that are telling us that our physical structural body is going through massive changes. And I do talk about this in the workshop, about the switches or the codons that have to do with opening up the DNA patterns in the structure that's been pretty much locked down. And that's a galactic historical thing that's taken place over thousands of years. So what we're coming to now is the possibility for those that are really preparing and want to prepare to clear up and get ready to switch on or turn on the switches within their electrical field and their DNA, which is possible. And this is why we sometimes hear about people that have instantaneous healings. All of a sudden, they are able to turn on all the switches in their DNA. We've got 64 switches, basically, that kind of run our DNA. I'm oversimplifying it, but it's a very complex thing. But so if you likened it to a breaker box in your house, and you have all your wires that come in from different rooms and they go into the main breaker box, and if you don't have the switches turned on, you're not going to get electricity or juice into that room. And that's really what we have right now. In our physical structural body, we know of, from the scientific perspective, that we've got about 20 of the 64 switches turned on.
Does that tie in with the fact that even Western medicine agrees that we're only using a small percentage of our brain?
The brain, and we are actually set physically to be able to live 900 years. Our structures actually has the capability of that. And this is pretty much well known now through all the great new emerging science and the energy medicine that's happening.
You mean there's a possibility that my listeners may have to put up with me for another 800-odd years?
Yes, or they could be blessed.
Gird your loins, boys and girls. It may happen.
And you're going to get younger, actually.
All right.
That's part of the activation of the DNA. And really, we're seeing that with some of the new emerging science. We're seeing that with some of the great techniques from the indigenous tribes. We're seeing it in some of the healing techniques that are now being able to be mapped through the HeartMath Institute in Colorado.
Okay. During your workshop, are you just going to simply talk about these things, or are you actually going to lead us on any exercises or activities that will help to open these channels and flip these switches?
We do have a very, probably have way more information than we can pack in, so it is important to see what the group is needing information intuitively, so we'll give as much information as well as have actual exercises and practices and be able to answer questions. And
okay, but there will be some experiential components.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's really important because, you know, if you just talk about it and you can't incorporate it and then you can't take action with it, then you really missed one of the steps.
My point exactly. Okay. You've got a section here under understanding karmic blocks, locks, seals, and implants, past programs, and mental loops. Do you want to speak to that briefly?
Well, I think everyone can relate to that right now with things that are happening in their lives. Things that are continually looping, you can't get out of them, you're getting habits.
Oh, Jesus, here we are again.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I thought I worked through that one, and here I am again.
I think they call it Groundhog Day. Remember the old movie? Right?
Yeah.
And what my work, and I've done a lot of personal sessions with people over the years and found, because I had to go through this myself, because of the experiences with the extraterrestrials and the lower energy extraterrestrials that forced me to learn, to research, and then to be able to clear my own personal well-being and get myself activated and get myself aligned, which I'm still working on to this day, is that I traveled around the world to find out where all the healing techniques and modalities were leading us. And I kept getting this sense that there's something that I'm missing, and really got down to the basic science of the Merkaba, which is the ancient system of the sacred geometry, which really is what operates and allows us to understand the light body, our connection to the earth, our structure, how we relate here, our soul, and our consciousness. And so we come in with a lot of stuff, and if, especially of us that have been here on this planet and have come through here many, many a time, we pick up stuff, we pick up debris, we pick up confusion, we pick up past lives that are incomplete. And I actually go through a three-step process with people when I do the integrations with personal sessions, and what we're seeing now is that we are having a chance to come to the end of karma as we know it on this planet.
Okay. You mentioned that you're not only offering these two workshops, but I think in the interim week you are also offering private sessions. Are you going to cover some of this removing seals and implants from the light body in the workshop, or is that only in the private sessions?
No, that is a very important part, because what usually happens is after I explain to people how the seals and implants are affecting the physical body, and it's holding us back from breaking the seals of the karmic patterns and the programs and loops that run us, as individuals and how we can break out of the matrix, then people usually do sign up for the private sessions afterwards. And I'm actually already got several signed up here that heard about me from the last couple of weeks I was here. So I'm looking forward to working with...
Okay, but during the workshop, we will get some information and perhaps some work on the seals and implants.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm even... At some point, I'm trying to... And maybe Margaret will be able to help me with this because we've just teamed up together to see how we can do these workshops because she brings in a great part of the feminine aspect, and that is to possibly do it in a group setting at some point. I haven't quite figured that out yet, and it is very complex. It sounds simple, but it took years and years of understanding of it, and yet the technique itself is very simple. But if you don't know what you're looking for, and if you haven't trained to see what it is and hear what it is, you can't clear these things, and I've been very blessed to be able to understand it, and it does give people some pretty instant...
Are you going to introduce us to that technique at your workshop?
I'll explain it as much as I can, but it's still an experiential part of what people want to go through. And it's really a big step, and many people have experienced great results from it.
Okay. We've got a listener calling in. I'm going to take that call in a minute, but first we have to break to remind anybody that's tuned in lately. It is 12:30 in the p.m. You're listening to KVMR FM, broadcasting out of Nevada City, California. Your host is Chamba Lane. The name of the show is Rabble Rousing. And we're pleased to have as our guests today Lee Patrick Hanks and Margaret Mary. And they're doing a workshop this weekend, and that's what we're talking about. And caller, you're live on the air.
Yeah, hi. You had mentioned that the Pentagon had acknowledged all these species of aliens.
Right.
I just wondered, what was that? Was that in some kind of confidential documents that were released, or?
Or was it some guy just standing on the Pentagon steps and shouting? Okay.
Well, you gave me a great segue. Thank you for the question. I was at the Exopolitics Conference, or the X Conference, 2 weekends ago in Washington, D.C., along with what we consider the leading pioneers in this whole disclosure project. Stephen Greer was not one of them, because Stephen's been doing a great job and done some other work.
Okay, the phones are starting to light up, so
better
be quick with your answer.
So here, I got this information through two sources that we did film and that we're going to bring it out in a documentary series. It is not released to the public, that information, but it has been released to certain individuals that do have documentation at this point. So we will be doing a documentary on this, and I will have some of this information on my website over the next probably 2 to 3 weeks, and we're going to go slow. We don't want to bombard everyone and create, we're looking for information and we're trying to establish credible sourcing, and that's what we're going
to
do.
Okay, so to specifically answer your question, it sounds like it was a calculated leak from the Pentagon rather than a general announcement.
Yeah, okay, great. As far as the workshop, are any of these species going to be there?
Well, we're all part of the species, of course. You're all going to be here.
No, the aliens.
You never know. Whenever we go, you just never know. Sometimes they come in different suits and in different bodies. So, but now we're really anchored on getting people to understand and accept this possibility. We're not here to showboat or to exploit the extraterrestrial presence. And, you know, we do get a lot of guidance and tremendous things happen in the workshops. And you just have to be open to all kinds of possibilities.
Okay. But to answer your specific question, no one has signed up and said, by the way, I'm an alien.
Okay. Well, we're not sure of that.
However, you have the opportunity. Okay?
I had a Sasquatch encounter, so if you want me to show up, I will.
Bring your Sasquatch along.
There you go.
Fine. Okay. All right. Thanks for your call. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Yeah, hi. Curious, how much is the workshop?
They can call the front desk.
Yeah, why don't you call the front desk, because it's a policy not to talk about prices on the air.
Are you donating a portion of this to the station, or is this just shameless charlatanical self-promotion? Kind of disturbing sitting here listening to this infomercial as you kind of rake over the weak members of our community, dropping every big vocabulary word you can, trying to find some kind of a selling point that strikes with people's weaknesses and draws them into your money-generating machine. Come on, wise up a little.
It sounds like you have quite a strong agenda. Are you still on the air? Okay, I guess you wanted to just give a diatribe and not have a dialogue. So we'll just leave that.
Well, let me address that.
Sure.
I have been working for many years, and not only donating my time, but have not been paid for my services for many, many years. And the money that I get now goes back into the information, back into the documentaries to feed this country and the people that are wanting to hear this information, because it has been sequestered. It has not been brought out to the public, and we've had a lot of disinformation by a lot of spinners, and including people that are angry and that are upset about the things that they don't necessarily want to hear about. But it is a part of our true nature and history that is about to be revealed on this planet. So you can interpret it whatever way you want, and I know that some people get very upset with it, but it's part of the real reality of where we are.
Okay, I'd like to approach the same subject from a little broader perspective, because the caller wanted to deliver his diatribe, but he didn't want to stay on the line for conversation. But I want to address the thought that he seemed to be presenting, and that was that if anybody is presenting anything at all where they're making any money from it, it's automatically discounted. And to me, that's very unrealistic. In the society we live in, are we to say that if you're not giving your information freely, that it's not valid? I think that's going a little bit far.
Well, and I would also say that all my stuff on the internet and what I'm going to bring out is free.
Oh, okay.
Okay, including
right,
the
so
documentaries that will be
fine.
Coming out.
Fine, so if somebody wanted to check you out further without falling into the trap that this fellow was alluding to, what's your website? How would they check this
out? It's newworldintegrations.com.
newworldintegrations.com.
These documentaries and the information will be coming out. We're in the process of editing right now, so that will be available to the public at large anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Okay. And the bottom line is, most people are selling something, and it's up to the buyer to check things out, feel with your heart as well as your intellect, and decide if there's something of value for you. And my perspective is, even if people are making money off of me, if I'm getting something of value, that's all I care about.
It's called the law of reciprocal maintenance.
There we go. Okay, enough on that one. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Yes. Well, John, but it's true. We are challenged by the way we handle money in this country, and I look forward to that smoothing out a bit. But I have to tell you, closed mind, it's like a closed parachute. Happy landing. Keep listening. Thank you.
I love some of my listeners. Thanks very much. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hello. I was wondering if your speaker has read The Education of Oversoul 7 by Jane Roberts, and if so, how has it influenced his a relationship with, you know, his ideas that he has going there.
Great.
And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you for your call and your question. Lee?
I have not, and I really can't address it.
Okay.
I haven't.
Okay. So that answers that. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR. Caller, you're live on KVMR. Well, we've got all of these buttons flashing, but nothing's happening. Caller? Okay. Anybody that's listening that doesn't know the in-studio numbers that would like to participate, you're welcome to. 265-9555 or toll-free 1-800-355-5867. You're welcome to call in with questions or brief comments, and please be brief and to the point. So, yes. I'm going to be in serious trouble if I don't ask the following question. I've had several listeners that wanted to know about the crystal skulls, and are you bringing the crystal skulls to the workshop? So, first of all, what are crystal skulls, and why would anybody care?
There's several answers to that. First of all, there are no crystal skulls coming to this particular workshop.
Okay.
I have been involved with Max over the years, one of the most prominent crystal skulls in the world that has been deemed to be one of the, if not the oldest artifact known to our civilization at this point, that has been certainly tested by all the big international institutes, and it says that this is very authentic. as far as its age and its the inability for anyone known to be able to produce this in even modern technology.
Curiosity, how do you test a crystal skull for age?
They have all kinds of incredible equipment now that's available through the Smithsonian Institute. There's the museum in England. And different private and public systems around the world that have tested this. And Joanne Parks has been doing this for 22 years, traveling around the world. There's been over 80 documentaries on MAX. And it is certainly has a great history behind it. There's a lot of folklore. There's a lot of myth and legend. But it also has an incredible intelligence and frequency that activates and affects people. There's been recorded documents of people having instantaneous healing when they come in contact with MAX. And there's another crystal skull that seems to be fairly famous, the Anna Mitchell Hedges skull, which has been floating around for many years as well. So part of what I've been doing is, again, educating and bringing people up to the possibilities of what the crystal skull represents and how it will play into 2012, because it does have a history that we believe goes back to Atlantis. And the 12 plus 1 crystal skulls had a specific frequency that held consciousness at that time and held a very high dimensional reality that goes, again, it's very complex and we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it today. But if any of you saw the latest original movie with Indiana Jones and the crystal skulls, I've had discussions with Joanne and a few other people about how they depicted the skulls. The movie kind of got it right, but they kind of bailed out at the end as well. These skulls represent the activation and the frequencies that we're not quite ready for, that by getting around MAX and a few other ones that are in public, and most of them are private, they're being held until a certain time, that it accelerates and activates these DNA codes, that actually accelerates your ability to handle higher frequencies. And that we certainly had something to do with this back in Atlantis, for many of us that can remember that, as to how it was a part of the consciousness generator and held frequencies for us that were much more aligned with the higher realms than what we see today in our world.
Okay. So the bottom line is that a crystal skull is carved out of crystal, quartz crystal.
A combination of several different types of crystal that no one can really figure out how they did it, especially with MAX, since it's got five different layers, five different inlays with it, which is very, very highly unusual.
Okay.
And MAX, we hope to get here. We've talked to a few local people, and that's really not up to me. It's up to Joanne Parks. And Erev Elgar-Adano has been bringing MAX to San Francisco recently and has had some great experiences with many people coming to experience MAX. And after we had left you, Chamba, we came to San Francisco and did a showing with a crop circle video that in Fort Mason in San Francisco, and that actually MAX was in there in front of the screen, and it was a pretty powerful night. It had a lot of people activating.
Okay. Some more calls. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Oh, I don't know if Lee's aware of it, but there was a new crop circle formation yesterday in Wilshire. It's one of the looks like it's about maybe 3 football fields long, and it's on a giant yellow flower rapeseed field. Huh. And you can see the pictures of them on the internet.
Oh, is that under Crop Circle Connector? Is that the newest? Because that is the official site for a lot of the new circles. That's wonderful. You know, this is something that Robert, Nicole, myself addressed a couple of weeks ago, that these crop circles are not going away. They are the activators that are also helping our DNA get ready. They're literally implanting or imprinting the magnetic field. So we're all getting that energy. We're getting that frequency hit every time a new crop circle is laid. And we're going to see more and more of these. Because this is, again, from our higher realms or whoever's orchestrating this, they're trying to help us awaken. And that's a big part of this, and this is part of the education. I can tell you that if we went to your audience and said, are you all ready to see an extraterrestrial, a lot of people might say yes, but when you get in front of them, the chances are your circuitry wouldn't be able to handle it like it, and that's what happened to me. It's a profound, profound, profound thing.
Okay, and just one thing to point out, and that is whoever's making the crop circles ain't making no money from it. So there's got to be something else going on.
Including the people that are trying to do the research. They're not making a bunch of money either, but
right.
They're dedicated to this because we know that this is a great part of the historical unfoldment of our planet.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a beautiful crop circle because it's all yellow.
What's the website?
This one is kind of a long domain name, but it's 4Winds10 at the numeric character 10.
What does the shape look like?
Well, let's not get into that. We've got other things to cover.
It's a pictogram. It's a huge pictogram.
Okay. Excellent. Great. Thank you so much.
Okay, and if somebody wants to see it, they go to 4Winds10, correct?
Yeah, .com.
4Winds10.com. Thanks very much for your call. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Yeah, I had two questions. The first question was the Markov serpent people theory with the blue-skinned people that are supposed to be coming from Sirius. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard a little bit about that. Is that connected with Nibiru?
Right.
Yes.
And that was Lau Russell was a mystic writer. Her husband was Walter Russell, and he describes about the Sirius mystery.
Yes, Robert Bouval and Graham Hancock wrote about the Sirius connection. That book was out about 10 years ago. It was a great connector to show the roots of the pyramids and the connection with Sirius and the intelligence, the galactic or the geometry of what Sirius represented and the information was coming through Sirius as a planetary support system. And they are one of the species that are helping us with this transition to the planet for sure.
So the other question was the discrepancy between, say, someone like Eric Thompson, who calculated the change starting in December 24th, 2011, as opposed to December 21st, 2012, by Jose Argueles.
There is some controversy as to the dates and the accuracy of what is going to happen. And I think we have to be very careful we don't get caught into time with this whole process. Consciousness is what's driving this shift, and that's something we really have to be aware of.
Well, the way I feel is that the transition has to start at some point. It doesn't necessarily have to start on a certain date, but it's as you transform over into the next phase, there's going to be like a little lag period between the two.
They have called that as the zero point. The Hopis and the indigenous tribes have talked about that being the time where you're in between, the in-between state. A lot of this has been written. Greg Braden certainly addressed this. A lot of the pioneers in the field and the scientific part of the metaphysics of this have addressed this. And again, I think we have to understand that this is a very, very complex maneuver that the universe is applying to our reality and that we're a part of it. And how we maneuver or how we are able to function and move through it really has a lot to do with shared consciousness. It has a lot to do with reaching for the best and highest, following of the cosmic laws. And the things that have to do with our maturity as a species is accepting the fact that we are not alone and that we are getting great support. And to deny that or to go into the fears of the lower chakras or the low, below the belt energy is not going to serve any of us at this time. So we really have to bring in, and this is where why Margaret has teamed up myself, and we want to bring in that divine feminine, the goddess energy, the acceptance and the allowing. And that's a big, big step on this planet, especially with what we've seen with the patriarchal energy and the money and the power that's been completely manipulating this world.
Now, how does this relate to Toltec philosophy?
I want to steer the subject back a little. It sounds like we can get everybody wanting to bring in everything here. And we've only got 10 minutes left.
Okay, Champa, thanks.
All right, but thank you for your call.
Okay.
Okay, Margaret, would you like to add any perspective at this point?
Well,
And what I would like to turn the focus to is people that are sitting out there and saying, well, all of this is very interesting, but what am I going to get from this workshop? If I'm going to devote a Saturday from 10 to 4 and a certain amount of money, what am I going to get from it?
That's a really good question, Chamba. I would, of course, from my perspective, I would remind people to listen. If they feel a calling, a hunger, they'll come. Here's basically what we're going to do. Follow your intuition. Nobody's here to fix or heal or change anything overnight. We have just spent, both Lee and myself, pretty much all of our lives up to this point around this focus. This has been our interest, our passion, our way of serving humankind. I happen to have, as does Lee, a huge amount of appreciation, respect, gratitude about this whole process. And I find daily people who are in fear, and if they just hear or see a couple of things, it seems to shift their reality, and they're able to move forward in a much more positive, healthier way. So that's really what we are here to do. Lee does happen to have a whole lot of intellectual understanding and information, and I offer more the light body, the feminine goddess energy, if you will, the compassion and unconditional love aspect.
And I also want to clarify that it's not just intellectual information. The intellectual came after the experiential. I had to find the answers to things. I had to find out why and how someone could take beings could take me from my house up into a spaceship, and how that could possibly happen in my physical body, and then they bring me back in my physical body, knowing that somehow in between, I wasn't in a form that I would call the physical body.
Okay.
So
the question that I was trying to posit was, for somebody that goes to the workshop, obviously they're going to get a lot of information. What is the possibilities of experience, and out of that, what are the possibilities of change? Because the bottom line is, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about change. We're talking about preparation for whatever is going to take place between now and 2012.
And I think you know, the workshop offers all sorts of possibility depending upon where you're at in your process. And we'll be able to address people individually as well as a group, and offer more information, more websites. If I see somebody who has an incredible amount of emotional pain body, I'll offer suggest different books, and we can douse in pendulum and see what kind of information is going to serve each individual individually as well as a collective.
Are you going to offer any exercises that actually help to make some of these changes?
Well, sure we are. We're going to offer several exercises, and for people that are looking or wanting to understand what's happening and are feeling it but don't understand what the actual the unfoldment is, so to speak, this sometimes one thing in the workshop, and I get this wherever I go, is that it triggers something that takes them in a whole different direction. So I don't think we can put our finger on it and say it's one thing, or we're going to offer these tools. That it could be the combination of all of it, or it could be one area that says, ah, there's that piece, there's that gem. Because I know that in my travels, I've gone through different stages where that's always happened to me, and it doesn't matter who I'm in front of, because we can learn from each other, and it can be something so simple, and it can also be something very profound.
Okay. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on the air.
Hey, Chamba, long-time listener. Last time these guys were on the air, you had mentioned that the British had come out with full, you know, disclosure on this.
More disclosure. Not full, but more.
Yeah, but I can't find any of it.
Oh, okay.
And to be quite honest, it's, you know, they say if we saw them, we would be overloaded. Starting to sound a lot like religion.
Yes.
You know, that's the same thing with God. You can't look at God because, you know, just overload.
You have to remember that there are certain controlling entities that are still on this planet that are only serving themselves at this point, thinking that they're serving humanity, when in fact that's not necessarily so. So we're going to continue to get certain blockouts. We're not going to get the full picture. We're not going to get all the stories. And that's why some of us that have had these experiences, that have gone through very many life-threatening situations, and many of my colleagues, and I will say this on air, have died or been killed. And you can take that to the bank. We've taken a chance to come out here and put our reputation, but more importantly, our truth on the line, to wanting to bring out information that a lot of those that have not wanted this to happen and to take place are now being forced to, and we are going to do this. This is not going to stop, and we are not going to be held back, and it doesn't matter at this point who they try to stop. It'll continue to go on because this is something that must be known to humanity.
Okay, but I was hearing that one of your initial question was, you heard that the British government was making disclosures and you haven't experienced any of those disclosures.
Yeah,
is that correct?
All
right. So,
and I'd also like to say, you know, just like religion can't come up with God, I don't see these people coming up with aliens.
Well,
you would present them if they were around.
Well, let's make sure we clarify this. The Ministry of Defense, and I was with Nick Pope a couple weekends ago, and he was part of the they have a tremendous, you know, hierarchy of structures of intelligence in the UK. And he was one of those that were involved with the project to take the information that the government had acquired over many years and decided that they would start to purge their files and bring it out to the public. Well, what I understand, there's about 12,000 pieces of information that has been put out to the Public Disclosure Act. And
the BBC has not reported them, though.
No, you're not looking in the right places then. You need to go to, in fact, if you'll send me an email, I can send you the actual addresses that the Ministry of Defense, or Nick Pope, who is representing this right now, and he's speaking workshops all around the world, and they are coming out, but they're not coming out with necessarily all the information. In fact, what Nick Pope has said is that probably 5% of the 95 or 100% of these undisclosed or identified projects.
We're running out of time. What I'm hearing is show me the money.
Well, it is available.
And I'll take the rest of it off there.
Okay, so send either me or Lee an email with your address, and Lee will send you some websites to check out. Okay?
Yes, and also France is even going much further than the UK at this point.
Okay, well, I think he's going to have the same question. Show me the money.
Well, it's there.
All right, so send us the websites. Okay, we're just about out of time. Time for one more call. Caller, you're live. Please be brief.
Okay, go to Google and just go UFO France. And it says right there, France opened secret government UFO files covering 50 years.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good night.
Thank you for a very succinct answer that's going to show us the money.
You got it, brother.
All right. One more. Caller, you're live on the air. Please be brief.
Yeah, I will be. Assuming that we are being imprinted by these crop circles, are you saying that they are all coming from one source and you are saying that this is a benign source?
No, I'm not going to say that because we don't know that. I think they're coming from possibly different sources.
I do too.
And it could be 80% that we know that are not real, according to the latest research, but there is 20% that is real.
Okay, and of those, we also have no certainty that they're all benign and benevolent.
That's correct.
Good, thank you for the clarity.
Okay, thank you for your question. Okay, guys, another boring show is closed. We're out of time. First of all, I want to thank very much our guests, Lee Patrick Hanks and Margaret Mary. I want to remind listeners that they are putting on a workshop this Saturday and then repeating that workshop the following Saturday.